button here. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by legendary singer Wendy Motton. How's it going, Wendy?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are things where you're at?
Things are going pretty good. I'm staying busy. Staying busy. That's a game. I'm happy to still be, still have dreams and still keep wanting to go.
Now, one thing I really do like starting out, you do live your life by three simple words. Do you want to say what those three words that you live by?
Don't give up.
Don't give up. That's your life's motto.
Yes.
And after reading your bio, you've not had an easy life, but of course, life never is. But we'll definitely get into that. But I think that's something good words to live by.
Yes, I do too.
Yes. And starting out your musical career, you did something that a lot of artists do. You started out within the church.
Yes, that's you typically how a lot of African American artists and some Christian singers, they start out in church. My dad was a pastor in Memphis, and I had five other siblings, and we didn't have the option to opt out. It was like you're going to church, period. And it's usually like 4 days a week, and at least they knew where we were,
That can be a curse and a blessing at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad is actually a pastor as well.
Yeah, well, you're a PK kid.
I am a PK kid, yes. I think although I think whenever I say pastor, it's kind of a little bit different because my dad taught jail inmates for 30 years the Bible. So
Nice,
yeah.
yes.
Until COVID killed that. So
Yeah, I
yeah.
know.
So anyways. But so let's talk about The Voice. You were on season 21, right?
Yes.
And you got picked up by Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
And were there any other people that wanted you, or was Blake the only one that buzzed?
No, I have all four coaches and standing ovation. And so if all four coaches pick you, then you can choose where you want to be. And that was the goal to get, well, actually, the nightmare was no one would turn around. That was the nightmare. Once I could get through that, I'm like, okay, if that's the scariest part, then I can continue this journey. So, but all four turned around with a standing ovation, and I had in my mind I was going to play chess with this game, and if only John Legend chose me, okay, but if everybody chose me, especially Blake, then I could continue to build on what I've been building in Nashville for the last 25 years in the music community, and that would be a continuation even on a grander scale, So that worked out for me, and so that's why I ended up choosing Blake. Because I've been a part of this music community in Nashville 25 years, and that would only enhance that and give me even more credibility in the country music community.
And not to diminish all the other artists because they have their own absolute reputation, but I think Blake is kind of the leader of, he's like the Simon Cowell of The Voice.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's why everyone wants to go with Blake because he is kind of the leader of it all.
Yes. Well, I also had another reason was that I knew that I wasn't sure why I knew that I didn't really want to sing current music because I didn't know any of it. And maybe with Blake, he would be a little bit more sympathetic to that and lean to, the type of songs that I really want to sing, so I was
Yeah.
taking a risk.
Now something happened to you while you were on The Voice, and I'll let you explain it, but I think that this was a very humiliating moment to happen on live TV, but I'll let you explain it, Juan, what happened.
Well, I have been in the music business over 35 years, and I've seen people fall and get up. And so that's what happened to me 3 weeks before the finale. Wendy Moten fell in front of 6 to 8 million people on live TV. It was just a perfect storm. I fell over this monitor that I didn't see. And with this fall, I broke my elbow, my right elbow. And but I was so thrilled that my head didn't slam into the floor that I was relieved because I'm like, at least I can get my elbow fixed. But cracking my brain, my skull on me. I don't know. So I was relieved. People couldn't understand why I wasn't like just completely devastated because I looked at my elbow and I'm like, well, I can fix that. So they call me. They take me off, air, and producers come back and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm broken, but I just want to get my arm fixed. And they were like, can you come back out? And they brought me back out to before talking going to the hospital. And I'm glad because my family, my husband who's been here, we've been together 29 years, he's in Nashville. At least he knew that I was injured, but I wasn't, injured horribly bad. And my family knew, so people wouldn't just automatically start booking flights. My brother lived in Vegas and he was packing a bag and getting ready to drive to LA. And then his wife was like, she's back on the TV. He's like, back where? And then he saw me. So he said, I'm going to stand down until further notice from the family if I need to go there. So it was a tragic accident. It was an innocent thing that happened. It was just a perfect storm. And, when I got to the hospital, got to the emergency room, they finally gave me a room. The doctor came by about 6 a.m. The show was still going on, that later that night. But by 6 a.m., the doctor came to my room and I said, well, how long do I have before I can't, my arm can't be fixed? And he said, yeah, exactly 3 weeks. And then, of course, the voice representative, they had a representative with me. And I was like, when is the finale? They were like, the finale is in 3 weeks. I said, okay, well, I'm staying in the show. So they called a producer. It was like, she wants to stay. So I did the show with two broken arms because I found out my right wrist was fractured and a piece of my hand was broken. So I had two broken arms and I had two splints, and I just did the last 3 weeks, the six shows with two broken arms and ibuprofen, 800 milligrams of ibuprofen. That's it.
How do you feel today? I mean, are they okay now?
My elbow that was broken is going to be crooked for life. There's a titanium piece in my elbow and it's keeping my arms together and it's just crooked. It's just gonna stay crooked. It stays numb constantly. My fingers are numb constantly. But I just move on. There's people who only have one arm. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and you certainly, going back to that three-word phrase you live by, you certainly are not going to let that stop you, it seems like.
No, that was like if that was the ultimate test in that moment. And doing it in front of so many people, it didn't faze me at all. I was just glad I wasn't injured worse. And, I wasn't embarrassed. I was, and maybe that's older age or, dealing with what's important and what's not. And the important thing was I didn't crack my skull. So after that, it's all gifts. Like happy about it.
God let you live to see the finale. Go to the finale.
Yes, finale, exactly, and continue on after it.
Yeah, absolutely. So something else I wanted to discuss with you was you were at EMI and they dubbed you the next who?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, yes.
Well, that was the era of the 90s. The
Yes.
90s. My record came out in 1993 on EMI, and it was Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, and I always like to say Wendy Moten was number four. But the top three, everybody remember number four. I look at it as giving me longevity in the music business, like almost anonymous enough to just keep weaving in and out of mainstream and coming out of mainstream, which afforded me, this longevity in the music business, or it would have ended in 1998 when pop R&B died in 1998. So I had a 5-year run there, and we all did because the music changed. Hip hop and rap was born, and neo soul and all these other things. So pop R&B died in 1998. So I had to continue to reinvent myself, and it was confusing, with radio because people thought Whitney had a new song out because my name is Wendy, so I had to deal with all that, but hey, say Whitney in the same breath as Wendy, that's not bad.
I heard another artist say, when it comes to reinventing yourself, you should do that every 2 years. Would you agree with that?
Possibly because music keeps changing and evolving. People change, evolving. So, some things will never go away, but ultimately you have to incorporate some new things.
Yeah, and going back to the voice just for a second, your dreams can come at any age because you had been talking about this was a 25-year journey for you leading up to the voice, and you were, if you don't mind me asking, how old were you then?
I was 56. I turned
Okay.
57 on the show, November 22nd, 2021. I turned 57. That next day, I broke my
I was
arms.
going to say that had to be, yeah. Well, for the timeline you're talking about, that had to be, yeah. What a nice gift to receive.
Hello. But it's almost a gift of life in a way because it gave me new life. Because if you can
Yeah.
fall in front of 6 to 8 million people and you keep going and it doesn't faze you and you got two broken arms and you're not even making it a word. Like people on the set were forgetting that my arms were broken.
Yeah.
And Blake used to say she never talks about it. Well, if I talk about it, you would want me to go home, just go home
Yeah.
already.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I was focused. I knew what the ultimate goal was for me. And, I thank God my pain level was a three. It stayed a three miraculously.
Yeah.
And they flew my sister out to take care of me, my sister Mona. The very next day, she was there. They booked the flight because I needed somebody. My hands were all swollen, my arms, I couldn't move them. So they flew my sister out immediately. And she took care of me, and that's how I was able to keep going. I had some help, and and my pain level was low.
And in your musical journey, you've gotten to work with some of the top artists as well. I won't go through all of them, but just a couple that I wanted to highlight is, well, I'll do them one by one, is Julio Iglesias. You got to work with Julio Iglesias.
Yes, for 15 years I was his duet partner. And we traveled all over the world, the private planes, that whole lifestyle, the crazy money, living in his homes and, traveling with him and him sharing his life with me. And my experience grew because of him. He taught me how to be a better singer and a better communicator through song. So I felt like I was getting paid to learn, because he's one of the greatest artists, living artists in music history. And there I am with him toe to toe. And he's saying Wendy Moulton is one of the greatest singers of all time. But the thing of it is I was just matching him. And I think just knowing that knowledge of just trying to mirror him with his sound and his phrasing, I guess that takes making a choice. Or you can make it hard and you just want to do you. And it's like, no, this was, I'm not going to do me. I'm going to learn from him. And that enhanced what I do.
And then one other artist that you've gotten to work with out of the many has been Michael McDonald.
Yes, I love him so much. He doesn't even know he's a super icon star because he's so sweet and so kind. We recorded a duet many years ago, and I toured with him a little bit, but I love him, and he's an amazing person, amazing artist.
And I wanted to ask you one final question, Wendy. What advice do you give to aspiring artists, the younger generation? Or let me rephrase that. If there's one piece of advice you could give a younger Wendy Moten, what would it be as she's going through the musical journey?
I would tell her, it's normal to feel panicked about everything that's going on around you. However, the goal and the challenge, the only challenge is dealing with yourself. The only challenge is you deciding what your dreams are and knowing that you can change them often. You don't have to live with that thing. And you can change them often and just don't listen to the noise of what can't happen, what can't be, what you can't do. Just, do your homework, follow your craft, whatever it is. If it's writing books, if it's being a scientist, if it's being a musician, whatever it is, do your homework, do the work. So if anyone should come to you and question your credibility or whatever, you can like unapologetically tell them that they're wrong because you've done the work and you continue to grow. Always keep growing and learning.
And I just want to remind people that it was 25 years before you got on to The Voice to showcase your talents.
Well, I had a solo career before that.
Yes, whole
So,
career,
I
yeah.
had a solo career in the 90s and that ended in 98. And then I became a background singer when Julio found me in 1999. And then I just rode that all the way till COVID hit. Then when COVID changed all of our lives, that's when I was like, I want to get back out there because all the artists were afraid. The superstars were afraid. So if everybody's afraid, the playing field is equal as far as I'm concerned. So I was like, well, how can I get out there with no a middle-aged black woman who don't have agent, manager, or label? Okay, you need TV. Okay, what kind of TV can I stomach? Because I'm from the era that we don't talk about ourselves. You don't talk about yourself. You don't boast, you don't. And so this climate is you share everything. So I had to come up with a story. They look for some type of theme of some reason why they should choose you. And my story was, I had a major record deal. I recorded duets with some of the greatest iconic male singers in music history. And now I have the courage for the voice. And they were like, yeah, bingo, good story.
This is our
And
girl
it's
right
true.
here. Yes.
Huh?
I said they pointed to you and said, "This is our girl right here."
Yeah, they did. And they decided to give me a chance. And that helped me become a solo artist again to get millions of people. I said, if I could just get 10% of those people to follow me and to become fans out of the 6 to 8 million a week for months, I can have a real lucrative career. And I've been staying busy and it's worked. So it was a risk. I'm glad I took it. It was the best thing. I didn't think I would break anything, but that helped me too, because it was like if you can do that in front of millions of people and it not faze you at all, so you just keep moving, keep going, keep your head,
It
down.
seems like, and I'll say this, it seems like you have to go through something devastating or extremely hard before your career gets elevated, it seems like.
Seems like sometimes for me it did. I'm glad that it didn't change my life, other than my elbow, but my drive was there. And if I had any doubt, because I'm swimming upstream just with age, being age and being a woman, and you're already swimming upstream, but I had a chance to get rid of all those noises week after week after week for myself. Because I was proving to myself that there are people who want to hear what I have to sing.
Yes.
There are people who, I was encouraging people over 50, 60, 70 to find their passions again and remind people that we have value. Just because we're 50, 60, 70 don't mean that we don't have value. And if you do have those dreams, go for it. What do you got, not what do you got to lose, but why not try if you want to?
And you only
So
get
I
one
was
life,
an
though.
advocate.
You only get one life.
So I was an advocate for that. And a lot of people wrote me on the show saying you helped me write my book, or
Yeah.
I thought about picking up my guitar again because they figured they were 55 or they were 70 and they couldn't. And it was like, no, you can. You can.
As long as there's breath in your lungs, you can still do it.
You
Yep.
can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for having me today.
It's been a pleasure talking to you and very nice to meet you and good luck in everything.
Thank you so much, and thanks for thinking of me.